Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators out here in Colorado, but also a pastor and a father of five. That's why I broadcast from my basement here in Elbert County, Colorado. Also, Dave Buhner with me, who lives about, 10 minutes from me on dirt roads. Dave, I got an interesting story, a sequence of stories I want to bring out on today's program. And the first one is an editorial written by Phyllis Schlafly. It was produced on December 30th, meaning just Tuesday of this week. And a very, very interesting, insightful article from Phyllis Schlafly, a very significant Christian conservative woman who's been writing for a long time. She says, why did 18 to 29-year-old evangelicals vote for Barack Obama despite his apostasy on the fundamental moral issues of abortion and same-sex unions? They voted 32% for Obama, twice the percentage of that demographic group who voted for John Kerry in 2004. So huge increase of these young evangelicals voting for Barack Obama, the most pro-infanticide candidate ever to run for president of the United States. He wants to kill babies and has worked very, very hard to kill as many babies as possible throughout his entire political career. And 18 to 29-year-old evangelicals are very enthusiastic about that position. Many of these young people identify social justice as the reason that led them to relegate the prime moral issues of life and the marriage to the back burner. And of course, the whole issue of moral social justice is not very well defined in the mind of the average evangelical 18 to 29-year-old person. Why? Because they have no concept what justice is, because they don't measure it by any kind of an absolute moral standard.
Well, I think you can look at the writings of the modern evangelical church, and you can see how wishy-washy it is. Things like, what would Jesus drive? See, that's social justice. Yeah, yeah. Getting, not using up too much hydrocarbons and producing too much carbon dioxide. See, that would be bad.
They have no idea what God says about taxation throughout his word. He says the poor should never, never, never pay less, and the rich should never, never, never pay more when it comes to taxation. That's what the word of God says. That's social justice as defined by God himself, but the average evangelical doesn't really care what God says about things like, well, justice, righteousness, that sort of thing, because he does not define his terms justice and righteousness by the laws of God. Well, I'm off target here. Phyllis Schlafly continues. She says, most likely the attitudes and decision-making that these kids learn in the public schools, which 89% of U.S. students attend. And Dave, she is spot on there. We have said this over and over again. The way that you raise up a socialist generation is by putting them into socialist schools. She says here, 7 out of 10 voters between the ages of 18 and 29 now favor expanding the role of government and agree that the government should do more to solve the nation's problems. And see, these guys have been in these public schools. And all these evangelical families that dump their kids into these public schools over the last 15 to 20 years of their lives are, of course, raising the next socialist generation to create the Marxist state that we are inheriting by means of men like Barack Obama. So, ladies and gentlemen, Phyllis Schlafly is spot on. It's not the fact that these evangelicals attend evangelical churches. That's irrelevant. That doesn't produce a worldview. That doesn't produce a Christian. What produces a Christian is people who are sit down and taught the Word of God and the laws of God and the will of God and all 66 books that are supposed to equip the man of God for every good work. According to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, by the way, Paul is referring to the Old Testament there. So if you're not teaching the scriptures, if you're not teaching them the moral principles of the Word of God, of course you're going to be raising Marxists. Of course you're going to be raising homosexuals and pro-infanticide evangelicals who are going to be getting behind the infanticide movement in America as well as the euthanasia movement. So, ladies and gentlemen, the fact that we're sending our children to public schools is training them in a view of ethics and epistemology and metaphysics that doesn't conform to a biblical way of looking at these very basic foundational philosophical issues.
Well, Kevin, just look at it from a time standpoint. A child who goes to the public schools is going to get 6 to 8 hours a day of a foreign worldview. That is not a biblical worldview, either taught to them by lecture or reinforced by homework. What are they going to do with the 20-minute, 30-minute sermon, maybe a 40-minute Sunday school class? How is that going to balance out 8 hours a day, 5 days a week? And that doesn't even count entertainment and the media culture. You are putting yourself at a huge disadvantage if you think that that 20-minute sermon or that 30-minute sermon, if you've really got a good church, is going to somehow or other outweigh those 40 hours of learning.
And, of course, those sermons don't cover 98% of the Bible. They just review three tiny little points pulled out of context of the Word of God over and over again, week in and week out. And these kids hardly ever get a perspective of biblical ethics, a perspective of a biblical metaphysic and epistemology. But here, the National Association of Scholars, this according to Phyllis Schlafly, reports that use of the term social justice is today understood to mean the advocacy of more egalitarian access to income through state-sponsored redistribution. What is that? It's Marxism, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Communist Manifesto being taught in our public schools and universities, and our Christian kids are picking this up, and they're going to vote for Barack Obama or Karl Marx or Adolf Hitler or Joseph Stalin or whoever else is going to run in the year 2012 and the year 2016. Ladies and gentlemen, put a fork in it. These kids' worldview already established. Our nation's future is established according to the public school system that monopolizes 89% of the students that go through these systems. Well,
Kevin, Jesus said, will the student become greater than the master, meaning that the child will rise to the level of their training. Actually, an adult will too, for that matter. And these children have been taught in a redistribution of wealth institution. The public school, run by a teachers' union, is grabbing wealth from one people, giving it to another set of people for someone's advantage. This is the environment in which they were natured. They've already been taught to look to the public school, which is a microcosm of the state, for their protection, for their provenance, for getting their needs. So naturally, they're going to look to the larger state. That same problem is repeated when you talk about those evangelical churches that only teach 3% of the Bible. Those pastors are doing exactly what they were taught to do. That's what they went to seminary to learn how to do, is teach those three little points very, very well.
That hopefully do not conflict with the worldview of Barack Obama or the socialists that run the country. Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to look at a very important story that came out of Brazil, and this from LifeSite News, a very, very important development here in Brazil. And we follow the homeschool movement and the free world, the quote-unquote free world, because we believe homeschooling is one way in which you can maintain some semblance of freedom and some semblance of the Christian faith and Christian discipleship among children around the world. So where it happens, we believe there actually is some light of the gospel actually being perpetuated from generation to generation. But in Brazil, they're having a tough time with it. Here, the Brazilian court convicts a homeschooling family despite evidence of success. Kleber and Meredith Nunes have been convicted by a second civil court in Brazil for homeschooling their kids, despite passing government-imposed tests that teachers admitted they could not pass themselves. The three-judge panel in the court of second instance refused even to examine the test results, which gave a passing grade to both of their sons for a series of highly rigorous tests on a variety of subjects, including math, geography, science, history, Portuguese, English, arts, and physical education. Again, in Juacena de Reis, an opinion columnist in the Diario de Acol newspaper mocked the statement from the judges, noting that a simple official verification that 70% of Brazilians don't know how to read and interpret five lines of banal text represents a shocking confession of how our education system is working. At some point, the magistrates had to act in bad conscience before invoking absurdities, like selling the false image that we have an education system at the level of first world countries. He added, as we are in December and every kind of list of notable events that begin to appear, it won't be a surprise that this court is listed in the category of the best joke of the year. That according to one of these columnists from a newspaper down in Brazil. But sad situation in Brazil where these families are not enabled to homeschool by law. And these courts say, I know we're giving a substandard education. I know the average person in Brazil can't even read and the teachers can't even pass these exams. And I know that you're doing a wonderful job homeschooling your kids. But that's not the point. The point of the public schools is not to educate the children. Please understand. It's to create a socialist state. It's to create a slave state where everybody dutifully walks into the polls and votes for the next socialist Marxist candidate that will be the next dictator who will take away as many rights and freedoms and tax the people as badly as possible in your standard socialist Marxist dictatorial type of state. Well, Dave, this is exactly what's happening in America. The only difference is we still have some kind of a window of opportunity to homeschool our own children. And thank God there are two, three million children being homeschooled right now in America.
And you got to think that the civil magistrate is pretty much afraid. What if this homeschooling thing caught on? What if every child learned how to read? What if they all were smarter than their teachers? Do you know what kind of havoc that could bring on a society? You might have people choosing wisely for liberty, actually making money without the government's help. And where would that leave the civil magistrates?
Yeah, well, the judge said here, we cannot even allow the examination here of the quality of education that has been given in the home because homeschooling never can be substituted for a regular instruction. They admitted that their system of education is substandard in Brazil, but they said, well, we just don't want homeschooling to be legalized in this country. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is the kind of top-down tyranny you're going to get from nations that are controlled by tyrants. They're controlled by people who think that the government knows best or the church knows best, and families should never, ever, ever be empowered with discipling their own children in the Word of God. They should never be empowered with the rights to teach their own children at home and to raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is a very, very important battle, and I'm sorry our Brazilian friends are losing this battle. If you go to hslda.org, you can find ways in which you can get involved for your Brazilian counterparts who are trying to maintain some semblance of freedom there in that country. Again, go to hslda.org for information on how to write to the Brazilian government in defense of our brothers and sisters who are fighting the good fight south of our border. In just a moment, a few more stories we want to cover on this edition of Generation. Stay with us, folks. This is Kevin Swanson. Be back in just a moment. Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview. All as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org. Welcome back to the Generations Radio Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson talking about the precious freedoms that we appreciate so much, especially the freedom to homeschool our own children without the imposition of statist tyranny, which is happening in countries like Brazil and Germany. If you want an update on what's going on in this area of tyranny in America or other nations around the world, check out Homeschool Legal Defense Association on the web, hslda.org. They keep a regular tab on stories as they unfold throughout the world. And folks, so we've been talking about the tyranny in Brazil, but now how about a little tyranny in America? We've touched on this subject before, I'm sure. But here from Ohio, this is WorldNet Daily, a SWAT raid on food co-op called entrapment. Lawyer says family badgered by agent to sell eggs. A state agent from the Ohio Department of Agriculture pressured a family whose members run a food cooperative for friends and neighbors to sell him a dozen eggs, sparked accusations of entrapment from a lawyer defending the family. The case brought by state and local authorities against a co-op run by John and Jacqueline Stowers in LaGrange, Ohio, came to a head on December 1st of this month when police officers used SWAT-style tactics to burst into the home, hold families' members, including children, at gunpoint, and confiscate the family's personal food supply. Dave, I think that's happened before. Unfortunately, in the land of the tax and the home of the slave, unfortunately, America is becoming more and more of a tyranny, and this kind of tyrannical imposition upon families is happening everywhere. Fortunately, there's been two organizations that are defending the family. The Buckeye Institute's legal arm and the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund are trying to defend the family. So hopefully this family will find themselves exonerated from this particular crime, in quotes, of course.
Well, we all know that eggs are a gateway food. You know, you start out with eggs, and before you know it, you're eating waffles.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you're onto the really hard breakfast foods.
Yeah, yeah. Eventually, you're getting milk from the neighbor goat, and then it's all over.
Yeah, well, as one who's pushed eggs, you know, I'm a pusher, and one who's pushed milk, you know, to my friends and family.
You're all right, friends and families, all right.
Right, so no need to bust my little co-op, I mean my family enterprise. You know, we actually think that God made eggs really good, right, out of the chicken.
Yeah. Yeah, this, of course, Dave, is resting on the whole idea that the government needs to control every aspect of your lives, including whatever happens to pass through your lips. You cannot make your decision as to what kind of risks you're going to take in life concerning the eggs you eat. I mean, we will bring eggs from the chickens for Chicken House into the house, and from time to time we don't really wash off all of the poop. But we try not to eat the poop while we are cracking the egg. So, you know, I mean, we're careful, but we're not going to submit ourselves to some kind of government inspection before we eat the eggs, because we actually like freedom. We love freedom.
Well, and you like eggs, and God in His goodness put the eggs in their own little container.
Yeah,
their own little like Tupperware. It's called the shell, and it works really good keeping the poop out. I mean, I wouldn't want to sit there for months and days. I think the cynical side of me thinks that perhaps this kind of government tyranny is sponsored by those who buy and pay for political office that support candidates, maybe those who are in the egg industry who sell a bunch in the supermarket.
Yeah, I'm guessing so. I'm guessing so. But we actually believe that the kind of eggs that we're eating is actually a little more healthy. They're free range, and our chickens get around, and we actually enjoy our eggs. We think they taste way, way better than what we get in the store. So these are our choices. See, we actually like freedom, folks. I know this is strange. I know it's really strange, because those of you who have been socialists for the last 100 years of your life really believe that every aspect of your life must be controlled by the government, and you find great security in that. And it's just like a warm security blanket. It's almost as secure as death for you. You're almost asleep. Your brain is practically in a jar, and the government has the electrodes on the jar, and it's feeding you everything that you need, and you're very, very comfortable as the government takes care of every part of your need and tells you what to believe and who to vote for. But there's some of us who also like freedom, and freedom is risky. Freedom is risky. Freedom has its ups and downs, but freedom is a wonderful, wonderful value whereby you don't have people breathing down your neck all the time, regulating every single aspect of your life. And as it turns out, the Bible doesn't allow the state into very many aspects of our lives. The Bible actually allows the state to prosecute very, very severe crimes, very severe crimes. We're talking about crimes like murder and robbery and rape and homosexuality. Yeah, the Bible has a few laws against really, really, really severe crimes. But for the most part, for like 99.999% of life, God just allows people to make their own decisions, and the government should keep its head out of it.
But with liberty comes responsibility. And I think that's the rub for so many people, because with liberty, you get to choose whether or not you're going to eat those family farm fresh eggs, or if you're going to drink the milk right from the goat, like my family does. Well, we refrigerate it and filter it first, but we don't pasteurize it. And that's a risk we're willing to take. Now, if we get sick, we're going to have to be responsible for that. We just happen to think that the risk is pretty minuscule, and that we enjoy the ability to make that decision and have that liberty and to have that responsibility as well.
All right, folks, a SWAT raid in Ohio with a family who had apparently sold a dozen eggs to the wrong person. And ladies and gentlemen, this sort of thing may be happening more and more in America. Dave, I just read a story recently where the Amish in New York are in trouble because they're not passing the building codes imposed on them by local districts or by local counties. And they, I think at this point, the Amish and some of the Mennonites are looking at moving to other states and perhaps even out of the country. Some Amish Mennonites have moved to nations like Mexico or Belize and have set up communities there. Why? Because, yeah, there's a little more anarchy south of the border, but not quite as much tyranny. They have more opportunity to be able to live and build their farms and do what they want to do without the imposition of these petty tyrants in every aspect of their lives. And unfortunately, this kind of thing is growing. As the percentage of our income being turned over to the government grows, of course that's going to happen. The more money you dump into the government, the more you will be tyrannized. At this point, 50% of our income is being taxed by the government, local, state, and federal. Of course we're going to have more local, state, and federal agents monitoring every single aspect of our lives, because you're funding it, ladies and gentlemen. You voted for Barack Obama. You love tyranny. You have embraced tyranny. You vote for men like George W. Bush, who increased the size of government exponentially, far more than any president since practically FDR. Or LBJ, at least. We have voted for these guys. We have voted for a massive increase in the size of federal governments and state governments. Dave, you remember we had some initiatives here in Colorado the last year or two that passed, enabling government to grow significantly in the state of Colorado. People love tyranny. They want to be tyrannized in every single aspect of their lives, and they are willing to fund that tyranny by their own tax money.
Yeah, I think you're still have the bumper sticker on the back of your car. If C wins, you lose.
Yeah, I keep it there to remind people what losers they are.
What losers they are, yeah. And that was a few years ago. That was Governor Owens, I think, presided over that one.
Yeah.
It's very difficult for the Amish to meet building codes. Now, here is why. The Universal Building Code, the UBC, would require things like a outlet on the wall, an electrical outlet, every 12 feet, so a 6-foot extension cord could reach it anywhere on the wall. It makes perfect sense. Unless you don't believe in electricity in your house.
Yeah.
See, if you don't have electricity in your house, the outlet's very difficult to put in. And why would you have a grounding rod right by the electrical box, which you don't have because you're not bringing the electricity into your house? You see, so sometimes those good and well-meaning laws just have no application. It would be very, very difficult for the Amish to meet several of those kinds of codes.
And what's incredibly sad, Dave, is that this nation used to respect the differences that existed among certain communities, like the Amish and the Mennonites. They weren't harming anybody. They weren't running around killing and raping and molesting people and stealing their goods, and they weren't even trying to redistribute the wealth, as most of the criminals in government are doing all the time. They were just peaceful people just trying to make a living. And we kept our cotton-picking hands off of them for a long time. Thankfully, this nation was a free nation. Hardly is anymore, because we are raising these tyrants in public schools every day, where we're training them to embrace big government and socialist regulations. Every single part of their life, including things like social justice, whatever that is, as defined by Karl Marx.
And there's the rub. You see, those Amish dress funny, and they don't send their kids to public school.
Yeah,
how are they going to become part of the collective if they're not part of the collective?
It's because they're so badly socialized. That is, they're not the socialists that the socialists want our children to be, because they're not attending the same public schools. Well, ladies and gentlemen, right now fighting for some semblance of freedom in the land of the taxed and the home of the slave, that is the United States of America. And unfortunately, we're seeing a massive, massive increase in tyranny here in America, but largely because, and let's just say it, largely because there is nobody saying the kinds of things that we're saying. I mean, there's a few people, but we're not seeing hundreds of thousands of pastors in America standing up and preaching the kinds of things that we would preach from the Word of God, which enables great liberty according to the principles of the laws of God. And if we understood that it was the laws of God, is the righteousness of God that enables maximum liberty in any kind of a civil state, then we would be teaching our children and our constituents in our churches the laws of God. And unfortunately, that's not being taught in America. And so therefore, the worldview that dominates in most of these evangelicals' minds are the kinds of ethical systems that are taught in the public schools, which is effectively socialism. So, ladies and gentlemen, nothing's going to change in this country. We're going to continue to see a rise of tyranny and perhaps even a rise of anarchy unless people get back to the standards of the laws of God. The only way we balance the one and the many, the only way we can balance between tyranny and anarchy, is to take the laws of the God who is the one and the many, the God who is the one and the three, and incorporate those laws into every aspect of our lives. We have got to live our lives according to the will of God, according to the kind of social system, according to the kinds of ethical systems that are laid out by a God who is very wise and very good and loves liberty and maximizes liberty, certainly in his Son Jesus Christ, who is our King and our Lord.
And Kevin, we're not going to have liberty unless we raise a people to have a taste for liberty. The Bible says to train up your children in the way that they should go. Don't train them up in socialism unless you want them to become socialists. When you send your child to that public school, you're training them in the way that they will go, which is socialism. If you teach your child the liberty of Jesus Christ, if you teach him the liberty of God's law, if you teach him what the role of the civil magistrate is according to God, you will train them up in the way that they will go, and that will be a way of liberty for a whole nation.
And ladies and gentlemen, I'm so sad to me that I'm seeing these Amish and these Mennonite folk and these folks who are trying to develop their own little co-ops so they can live life, you know, enjoy life with their organic food. They just hardly have the liberty to do this anymore because of the stringent requirements and the investigations and all of the tyrannical impositions upon them from the state. And so it's just a sadness to me that we had such a wonderful nation. It's been ruined by the public schools and the socialist systems that's been imposed upon us. Nevertheless, I do believe there's hope for freedom. I do believe that. I believe that there's hope for liberty. There's hope for a righteous nation. I mean, this nation was a one and of kind. It was a great nation. It was a nation that was a free nation and didn't impose as much taxation upon its people as many other nations. It had a wonderful Bill of Rights at one point and really meant it. It wasn't curtailed by
court case after court case after court case and Supreme Court decision after Supreme Court decision. We actually had a nation that was free at one point in time. Well, right now we're losing our freedoms in this country, but I believe that there is hope to retain these freedoms in years to come. And that's why I wrote the book, The Second Mayflower. Blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. I really believe that a nation that is a free nation, that could be the nation where other persecuted people like the Amish and the Mennonite could escape to, could be this wonderful free nation. And it could begin right now, right here in America, in the hearts and the homes of those who are listening to this radio program. Let me encourage you to get a copy of The Second Mayflower. I encourage you to take a vision, the vision that was first planted in the hearts of those men who founded this nation 400 years ago. Plant that vision in the hearts of your children and your grandchildren. And I think that freedom, a free nation, could have a shot in years to come. Get a copy of my book, The Second Mayflower, right now, and plant that vision for freedom in the hearts of your own people. Ladies and gentlemen, you can get a copy of that book, The Second Mayflower, at my website, kevinswanson.com, on the web. And you can interact with this program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com as we raise up a remnant of people who really believe in God, who really fear God and love the laws of God and embrace Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord and are willing to really establish a system of liberty based upon the laws of God. If we can gather this people together over the next 15 to 20, maybe 25 years, I believe a second Mayflower, another nation that will glorify God and establish a free nation somewhere on earth, could exist. Ladies and gentlemen, let me invite you back again next time as we cast a vision for the next generation.
Reformation Church is sponsoring Generations Radio because we have a passion for renewing truth and relationships in a lost and lonely world. In this nation, we find the family disintegrating, morality is on the decline, and yet church attendance remains as high as ever. Is the humanist culture impacting the church, or is the church impacting a humanist culture? At Reformation Church, we want to see the church make an impact on culture. That's why we encourage churches everywhere to bring a biblical worldview and a biblical view of ethics back to this culture. As pastors preach the Word of God, Christians everywhere should be taking Old and New Testament and applying it to politics, economics, education, art, and culture. And one more thing, we also want to see relationships renewed. Instead of fragmenting the family by the way we structure our church education and family life, let's reintegrate the family. Let's put a value on church relationships by engaging in hospitality. And let's reintegrate the family by building up relationships within the family. This is our vision at Reformation Church in Castle Rock, Colorado, and for hundreds of other churches throughout Colorado. Visit our website at www.reformationchurch.com.